Reverend Todd Benner, who is associate pastor at Memorial United Methodist Church. My church. I'm sorry, it's my program. I'm going to bring on my people. But Todd, I don't know your mother, and she doesn't live in Elizabethtown in Hardin County. You tell me and you tell our audience whatever you want to tell them about your mother.
I think to know that her love for her kids, we had the four of us at home, and her life was just centered around those four kids. And maybe that was a negative for her because, you know, after we all left the house, you know, she was left there holding the bag with Dad, and that was difficult for her when all the kids left. And when we left. One went to Pittsburgh, and one went to Kentucky, of course, here, and we just spread out. And now my sister is home near them and her family, so that helps her a lot. But we always knew, and she always instilled in us, just her unconditional love and how special and unique each of us were. And, you know, with three siblings, she was able to make each one of those four kids just feel like they were, you know, on top of the world. And that helped a lot. And a lot of different things that she taught us and instilled in us, you know, came out as we grew up. She had a great sense of humor. When I was growing up, for years she would tell me, I don't know if I should share this because it makes me look so bad, but she would say, "Son, you have a face only a mother can love." and I just thought that was, you know, just the sweetest thing for years. And then one time she told me that in the kitchen. I was getting the rolls up to put in for family dinner at the table, and I had just walked out of the kitchen. She had just said that to me, and finally it dawned on me, a little slow. And I walked back in, and I said, "Mom, you've been insulting me all these years." And she just cracked up and was laughing and just saying, "I wondered when you were going to get that." But, you know, it sounds sort of cruel, but, you know, she was just playing. And other times, you know, just in our growing up, she just always loved us, and we knew we were loved, and so that we could handle something like that, you know, not have our character decimated. But I remember coming home from my freshman year in high school and had got cut from the basketball team, and she saw me coming down the road, and she was waiting at the door when I got there, and just, you know, held me for a little while. And not too many ninth graders would admit that, but, you know, just always there.
What is her name and where does she live?
Arlene Benner. She lives in outside Washington, D.C.,
Well, those of us who know Todd know that he can't stay serious too long, that he has inherited this sense of humor. Todd, thank you so much for telling us about your mother.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Rachel James is in Bowling Green, but we feel like in July she will be in Elizabethtown as pastor of Memorial United Methodist Church, but that's not completely official. But Rachel, I want you to talk about Alice Scott, your mother, just a little bit here for us on our program. And I appreciate your being part of our program. Tell our audience about your mother.
Thank you, Ron, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. My mother, Alice Scott, is truly a pioneer among women. She is a pastor, a retired pastor now, with the United Methodist Church. In that role, she has not only been my mother, but she has mothered so many other clergy women all across the conference, the Kentucky Conference of the United Methodist Church, look to her as a mother figure because she certainly has been a role model for all of us. I would also like to say, however, that in my growing up years, when she was just mom, before she went into the ministry, that she certainly was a wonderful mother, and she raised all five of us children, and we all felt that we had her full love and attention, and had a happy home life together with all of us five kids there growing up with Mom and Dad.
Mike Begay, a friend and a helicopter pilot. Mike, your mother probably is not from Elizabethtown or Hardin County. You tell us about your mother, if you would.
No, well, unfortunately, I don't have my mother with me or with us anymore. She passed away many years ago, but like so many mothers out there, she is or was a wonderful person, a great mom, and somebody myself and my three younger brothers loved very much. She was born in Arizona in the 1920s, and as a young girl, moved to southeastern Oklahoma at the age of about two, I believe, and had a fairly rough life in the wilderness there in southeastern Oklahoma. Grew up, went to high school and college, and then met my father and moved to New York, and had four boys. I'm the oldest, and ended up living in New York for the remainder of her adult life.
What was her name?
Her name is Billy Ray Henson. Her maiden name is Henson, and the last name is Begay.
Well, finally, when you see some character coming out in yourself, good or maybe not so good, you say, uh-oh, that's my mother. What would that be?
Well, I think I try to be patient and kind with people. That doesn't always work with me, but she certainly was a patient, kind woman. I have to go to the Bible and in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love being patient and kind and not jealous or boastful. I think of my mother. Those are some of the great attributes that she had that stick out in my mind very clearly. She never really insisted on her own way unless we were going down the wrong path, and then she'd insist on the right way to do things. It was hard to get her to be irritable, and she always seemed to rejoice in what was right, and she bared a lot with us, as you can imagine, raising four boys. She really had to endure a lot, but was a fine woman, and of course we all love her very much.
Mike, I appreciate your talking about your mother, who is no longer with us, because that's part of Mother's Day, too. Sadly, there are a lot of people out there listening whose mothers are no longer with them physically here on Earth, but certainly those memories are always there.
Absolutely.
We want to bring Don Wise in. He is very big with a Sicilian bank, and I know we're here to talk about mothers, and Don's mother is no longer with us. We want to talk about her, but I want to give you a chance, Don, to talk about this 100-year birthday of the Sicilian Bank. That happened Saturday night, but I know that all of you have been planning this for months, but that was a major, major event, wasn't it?
Well, a milestone in the history of the bank to be in business for 100 continuous years, and you think about all of the events that have happened down through that time, and it makes it pretty remarkable, we think, Ron. And you know, most of all, we have to give thanks to our customers and to the employees that provide those service down through the years, and they've dedicated themselves. And it's been a mutually agreeable thing where the customers have repaid that loyalty by being loyal customers all those years.
Well, we congratulate you and all of your staff and everybody who's ever been on the staff there, and all of your customers and the bank, and all of those who've served on the board down through the years. That's quite a milestone. We could not miss this opportunity to talk about it, but talk about your mother, if you would.
Okay, when I think about my mother, who is no longer with us, as you mentioned, Ron, she was very close to me, very good to me. And we had a very loving and a friendship, and was a great friend as well as my mother. And it seems my early memories are she had this passion for cleanliness. It didn't make any difference how well I was. I had to pass inspection. And if I didn't do it to her satisfaction, I'd always get the second going over. And I didn't look forward to that too much. But she always seemed to have a way of making something out of nothing. I remember one occasion when she took a top off of an old table radio, and a fence post and some legs off of a musical stool, piano stool, and made that into an end table. And I can remember her working on that and laboriously doing that but wound up with something that was very durable and something usable in our home. And it seemed like as I matured and got on into life, she was always had an intuition about when I might have a need for money. It wasn't always a lot of money, but it was a little bit something that really helped me get over the hump sometimes. And sometimes it would be at my birthday or other occasions, she would give me clothes or a new pair of shoes and things like that. Really meant a lot to me.
What was her name and what part of the state are we talking about, Don?
She was born in northern Scott County, near a little community known as Sadieville, and her name was Ophelia Underwood.
Well, Ophelia, we remember you. Certainly, Don remembers you with great fondness, and we appreciate your being part of our Mother's Day program, Don.
Thanks very much, Ron. I appreciate being here.
There is no more appropriate way to end this program about moms than to have Angela Carter of Elizabethtown come in, and we appreciate her doing that. She's going to be reading from the late Mike Allen's book, Traveling Light, and the story is the story of Stony Lonesome. So, Angela, go to it.
In the hills where I was raised, there lies a rugged old road called the Stony Lonesome. Made up mostly of mud and creek gravel, it winds along the pines of Steep Ridge and nestles into a wooded hollow. There, the deep mountain forest shadows its narrow rim into little more than a deer path. I was only 4 when I first met the Stony Lonesome. One of the 2 families that lived up that hollow had been stricken with sickness, and my mother had taken me along for a prayer service. The sun had already set when we parked our old Ford along the rim's edge and set out on foot. The woods fell dark as pine tar that evening, even when one of the church elders led the way by flashlight. I remember the crackling of the twigs and the earth smell of damp forest floor. In the night's black stillness, we came to a footbridge that led across a slate-covered gap. My breathing grew short and choppy, and fear pounded at my temple. For a little boy of 4, the bridge seemed impossible to cross. It was so high, I couldn't even see the black bottom. One by one, the church folks in front of us began crossing. The bridge swung back and forth, the boards creaking and swaying with every step. I knew when my time came it would most surely collapse, dumping me into the great black crevice below. I remember how I tried to hold back the tears but couldn't. It was then my mother heard me whimpering and knelt beside me. "What's wrong, Mike?" she asked, stroking my hair. "I can't see the other side, Mama," I whispered, choking back my cry, "and I think I'm going to fall." She smiled and placed my trembling little fingers into the softness of her warm, sweet palm. "Don't worry, honey," she whispered. "Mama's got your hand." With that, she led me across that dark mountain bridge to the others who met me with arms spread on the other side. In the darkness and confusion of that black night, my mother brought light to my path. She gave me courage to replace my fear and love to hold my footing. Last Friday, my sisters and I gathered with friends and family in a tiny hospital waiting room. "It's colon cancer," the doctor had told my mother, "but I don't foresee any complications." 2.5 hours had passed when he reappeared at the waiting room door. He met us with a deep, wrinkled concern spread across his face. As we rushed to meet him, I felt a terrible surge of fear gather in my chest. There was a hesitance in the doctor's manner. His eyes looked tired and sad. "It was very extensive surgery," he told us. "The colon surgery was successful, but it was like a lead ball had dropped into my gut. But, come on, Doc," I wanted to shake him. "But what?" He cleared his throat. "There is a metastasis of the liver." I wanted to shout, "Would you speak English?" But I didn't. Instead, my youngest sister began to cry, and I suppose then I didn't need any further explanation. I held her and my older sister to me as friends gathered around us. All I remember now is the chaplain's voice. He talked about quality time and making the most of the moment. When Mom came to the recovery room, her spirits were good. "What did he say, Mike?" I couldn't believe no one had told her. As honestly as I could, I looked into her eyes. "Mom," I swallowed. A terrible lump of desperation and sorrow lodged itself in my throat. "He said the operation went well, but the cancer has spread to your liver." Hot tears began streaming down my cheeks. Mom smiled. "It's all right, honey," she stroked my hair. God's going to take care of everything. She cleared her throat and swallowed. Last night I let him wrap his arms around me and see me through this thing. Well, he did. And believe me, son, his love is stronger than anything that can happen here in this hospital. Since that day, my mom has been dismissed from her room up on 5A. She's weak, but she's home now. She's talked to a specialist, an oncologist, they call it, about her options. Her faith is again the shining light that leads us into tomorrow. Sometimes, though, the whole thing seems overwhelming. The confusion hurls me into the blue of my mother's tough but tender eyes. And for one brief moment, I'm back on the stony lonesome again, 4 years old, dark and afraid. The bridge beyond me seems ever so high, and no matter how hard I try, I just can't see the bottom. It is then that I hear the soft, sweet voice of an angel. "Don't worry, honey," it whispers. "Mama's got your hand."
Angela, thank you so very much. Mike Allen, we miss you. We appreciate your words on paper and your story about Stony Lonesome. Mom, if you hear this, you and I didn't say we love each other very much for about 40 years or so, and now every time we talk, we say it to each other. I love you. I'm Ron Boone.